Esther chapter 4, verse 13. They asked me for scripture. I didn't know where I was going. They asked me for a title. I didn't have one. So I just made one. And Mordecai commanded, answer Esther, and then think not with thyself, thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther bade return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, and I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go in unto the king, and which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now I'm going on turf that people have ridden all over, and so I hope your brain isn't down the road here. And say, oh, I've heard that before. Well, I've heard this choir sing, but I worship anyway. I got one more scripture. I didn't give it to them because they asked me real fast and I didn't know. I'm reading Acts 20. Please be with me. Just bear with me. Okay? I wish I had the confidence in me that you have in me. But I feel like I really heard from the Lord. A man of God came up to me Sunday night when we finished church at home, and he just hugged me next to him and he said, could I speak a word to you? I said, speak, son. He said, the Lord would say to you, go encourage my people and give them their marching orders. Acts 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide in me. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel, the grace of God. Okay? I've read enough? Yeah, I think I have. I don't know what time it is because I can't see that clock. Dear Lord, help me tonight. I feel so strong that you're going to break in on us in a mighty way. That there's going to be a beyond a spectacular demonstration. There's going to be a reversal of diseases, a reversal of the curses of cells out of control. There's going to be a reversal that takes place. And I know the folks have been here a long time and they're tired, but would you just breathe into them a little strength for a few moments? And help me to be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I guess the title that I gave to my message was Delivering Power of Determination. We have been hyped. We have been exuberant. We have been excited. We have been thrilled. Our brains have expanded. Our spirits have reached ecstasy and height. But it seems to me like the Lord had said to my heart, you need to tell the people that the greatest thing that they can go home with is determination. Now please bear with me. Don't snore. Just bear with me. Webster's Dictionary said, determination is to reach a decision about something. To decide upon after investigation and thought. To have one's mind made up. To resolve. To become unwavering about one's beliefs, one's attitudes, and one's actions. It's a wonderful thing to have desire, but desire doesn't do nothing for nobody. Desire without anything after it can produce frustration. See, desire is supposed to produce desperation. And desperation helps people act up. It helps people get out of their comfort zones. But even desperation will leave you with frustration. You have to have desire, then you have to have desperation, and they have to give birth to determination. And once you have determination, you can experience deliverance. You can experience healing. You can experience miracles. You can... And what you don't need is just another feeling. You need to just grab what you've had, grab what you know, and say, with the help of God, I am determined that I am going to change. I'm going to make something happen. I'm going to walk through the gates of hell. I'm going to snatch some people out of there. When I was praying, the Lord just quickened into my mind, Rizpah. I've never even preached a sermon on Rizpah. You know, Saul's concubine. She wasn't good enough to have his name, just good enough to go in the sack with him. That's what concubines do. And she produced two little babies for that schmo. But then he killed all those Gibeonites. And then there was a famine sent. Listen to me. If there's a famine in your church, you better find out what's causing it. If your church is going through a dry spell, you better find out why the showers aren't falling. Because God wants to bless, and God wants to heal, and God wants to deliver, and God wants to loose, and God wants to enrich. The harvest is God's idea. So sit down, I'm going as fast as I can. I know the time thing. Listen to me. And so you know the story. They took five of Michael's children, which she never had. She raised them for somebody else because David never did have any romance with her because that dumb chick used to make fun of him when he was worshiping. You'd be a stupid fool to make fun of anybody that worships. You'd be an absolute idiot to make fun of anybody that worships. They may not do it like you. They may not sing like you. They may not act like you. But if they're worshiping God, you better keep your mouth off them. You better... Because worship is what God's looking for. Sit down. So she's got five kids that she's raising for another guy. And this concubine's got two. We know the story. They said, what can we do? He said, well, we don't want any money or silver. Saul, the man that tried to kill us all off, he's dead. Let's kill seven of his kids. Nice people. So he says, okay. So they took seven, but you know what David did? He spared Mephibosheth because he was in covenant with Mephibosheth. And, you know, it'd be good to get in covenant with the king instead of the United Pentecostal Church. No, I mean, be belong to the United Pentecostal Church if you want this, but don't be in covenant with this. You want to be in covenant with the King. If you're in covenant with the King, you will behave yourself. Now, I'm trying to get them a sermon. And so they hung the seven kids up there. And here's what the Lord quickened to me. I want you to preach about determination and the delivering power of determination. And they hung the seven up there, and Rizpah spread out the sackcloth, and she put her carcass on that old stone. And the Lord said to me, tell these people, consider Rizpah. She was so determined that the fowls wouldn't land on her sons, and the predators wouldn't land on their sons, and her sons were dead. When are my people going to get determined about their living children, about their living loved ones, about their living lost friends? I see Rizpah swinging against the fowls, kicking against the jackals. I will not let you have their carcass until the king took notice. If you're full of determination, you can get the king's attention. You didn't sit down. Let me just talk, okay? Men, this guy I read after, he said,
Most men fail, not because of lack of education, nor ability, nor opportunity, nor desire, but the lack of determination. Napoleon said, the truest wisdom in all the world is resolute determination. Jeff Arnold said, if you're willing to try and try again, it makes you invincible. You didn't hear me, a bunch of wussies. I said, if you get determined, no devil can take you out. No situation can take you out. Nothing can defeat you. I am more than a conqueror. Why? Because I'm determined. Stay with me. Now for those of you that worship in the arena of sports, let me touch one of your heroes for you. Here's what he said. It is impossible to defeat the person who refuses to quit. Babe Ruth. Come on, you football worshipers, baseball worshipers, basketball worshipers. I just touched one of your idols. The Bambino. He said, I hate to get next to someone who won't quit. That sounds like what hell says. I hate to get next to somebody that won't quit. I give them my best shot. I knock them down. I steal their stuff. I ruin their health. I mess over them like Joe. And they keep getting up. And they wipe the blood off their nose. And they come again. Fight again. Fight again. I know you got prayed for and you didn't get healed. But we're going to pray one more time tonight. We're going to pray one more time and see if God will come to your rescue and give you a miracle. Stay with me. Am I doing good yet? Okay. When I'm too long, you just tell me. Listen. Anybody heard of this guy? He doesn't preach for us. But he's really done some cool stuff. His name is Ludwig van Beethoven. I thought for sure you music people with all the jamming and juking and carrying on you do, you'd have just jumped up and said, my man, Beethoven. Beethoven, by the time he was 5, played the violin. By the time he was 13, he was a concert organist. By the time he was 20, he studied under Haydn and Mozart, who said he would give the world music to listen to by the time his life was over. He wrote 9 majestic symphonies, 5 concertos for pianos, all kinds of chamber music, all kinds of sonatas for violins and pianos. Listen to this. But he was not a stranger to adversity. In his 20s, he began to lose his hearing. He said his fingers became thick and he couldn't feel the music that he was playing. By the age 50, he was stone deaf. He cut the legs off his piano and put it on the floor and laid on the ground to play the piano to feel his music. Maybe some of you need to cut some stuff off. You're not hearing me yet. I know where I'm going. This was what I was going to give you for a title, but I told someone, they said it was too rude, so I'll just preach it. Here's what it said. This turned my motor on for this conference. He said one day after he became stone deaf and he couldn't hear the music, it was reported that they heard him slamming the keys with both of his fists and screamed to the top of his lungs, I will take life by the throat. I will not life defeat me. I will not let my setbacks defeat me. I will not let my wounds and my hurts defeat me. Sometimes you got to take life by the throat and say, I will win. Man, I thought that was better than that. And so it is in our lives that we're faced with all kinds of negativity and struggles and issues and problems and situations. But you understand, you only get strength from struggle. And you only advance from adversity. And all the wussies that just want to drift along, they don't end up nowhere. And all you people that keep crying in your root beer and sucking your thumb and hoping that somehow you can get in a good church and a good service and a good seminar and a good meeting like this, that God, oh God, I wish you would just change the circumstances in my church and in my neighborhood and at my job. Oh, get a life, you wacko. You don't need your circumstances changed. Adam and Eve had the best, and they messed the thing up. You don't need to change your circumstance. You need to change the level of your determination. I will come through this. I will make a difference. I will. Somebody needs to shout back to me. I'm going to take life by the throat. All right, now shake them a bit. You're going to let my children go, you fool. You're going to get your hand off my body, you lying devil. You lying spirit of cancer. I'll take it. He suffered for my healing. He gave me atonement for my... I will take life by the throat. I'm going to preach some more. And I don't want you offended. Don't get offended. I'm talking to you. You. Don't get offended. I'm talking to you. Don't get offended. All right. I'm talking to the rest of you cats. Don't get offended. I'm talking to you people that were in that, what was that couch thing we did this morning? Living room thing. What? Don't get offended. Now here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't get offended. Because I was back there every service and I watched him, Mr. Walking Brain, do this. And something came up. And he would talk and quote from it. He'd go, no. I don't even know what they call that. What is it? I'll see. I ain't got one. I don't know what it does. Say what you want. Don't get offended. He's the only guy that's ever told me, Jeffrey, why don't you graduate to the 21st century? You're locked in a time warp. You're right. I'm still waiting for 8-track tapes. But I'm still locked in one God and Jesus' name baptism and the Holy Ghost talking in tongues and holiness and righteousness and glory and majesty and healing and miracles and signs and wonders. I don't need to get too modern for that. You can sit down. Don't get offended. I saw that lady from your church today. She was sitting over there about the fourth seat. You was in the fifth. And when she was talking, she was support groups and stuff like that. We got this, we got the about pornography and pornography was such stuff. Start singing that song again. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, that'll help you get determined He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's never put on you more than you can bear. He's always made a way of escape. You better get determined. I'm going through. Because determination will work when your feelings don't. Your determination will work when others of people's opinions try to take you apart. You can sit down. You can sit down. I don't, you're not getting offended, right? Oh. I don't want to. Brother Wilson, nice to see you. I wish I could sing. God, I can sing. I just can't sing in tune. You ain't got nothing to laugh about. You can't either. You sing as bad as I do. Him and I, we just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Give me one of them, what is that, high five? Okay.
This is a cell phone in case you need it tonight.
Antichrist's going to get you guys before he gets me. I wouldn't leave the church for $100 trillion. This is the greatest thing this side of heaven. I am determined to die living for God. Come to think of it, I've done that once. I know Schwarzenegger what he said. I'll be back. Well, I got one on him. I am back. Dead ain't no big deal. Dead ain't no big deal. He picked me up like I was a feather, bud. Don't you people be afraid of death. Paul turned around and said, I'm going to finish my course with joy, and ain't nothing going to stop me. Stop sucking your thumb wanting to know you can get more gifts. You don't need more gifts. You need more determination. And if you want power, and you want glory, and you want gifts, then get determined to go after them. Because God said, I never told anybody to seek me in vain. Am I doing good? You can sit down. Stay with me. I'm talking about determination. And there's three things you better get determined about, and I won't be long. First, you better get determined about what you've lost. And as Brother Tenney used to say, scripture and verse, please. Okay, 1 Samuel 30. David lost his wives, lost his children, lost his trinkets, lost his toys, lost his stuff, lost his condo, lost his CDs, lost his racquetball club, lost his golf clubs, lost iPad. He lost his computer. He lost his internet connection. He lost everything. Now, wait a minute. He ain't big and bad enough to get his stuff back. But he's determined. I wish I could get somebody in this place to go flip out right now. Here, real easy. Save me 20 minutes of preaching. Ready? I want my stuff back. I want what the devil took from me. Whether it's money, whether it's mercy, whether it's health, whether it's strength, whether it's ministry, whether it's joy, whether it's hope. I want my stuff back. You can sit down. I'm going fast as I can. And the Bible says David inquired after the Lord. And he said, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? Will I get back? And the Lord answered. Now, as far as I can understand, he ain't prayed. There's no prayers anywhere I can find. Because he's been away from the Lord for 16 months. No psalms written, no music coming out of his soul. He's got nothing. But he turns around and says, yeah, but I want my stuff back, and I'm determined to get it back. All I need is direction and permission. Hey, Lord, I lost my stuff. Can I go after my stuff? Will you help me? No debate, no argument, no saying, listen, you little fool, you haven't prayed in a long time. You haven't fasted. You haven't read the Word. You haven't been a nice man. You've been lying. You've been murdering all kinds of people, lying to all these people. The Lord didn't do any of that. Watch this. He's really tough to deal with. Pursue! Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm sick. I got a disease. I'm dying. I got problems. I've been prayed for. The doctor said. What do you want to say? God's saying, pursue. Pursue the miraculous. Pursue the supernatural. Pursue the miracles and wonders of God. Pursue it. And if God tells you to go after it, He plans on you getting it. Did I lose you guys? No. You said, huh? What? He said, pursue. What? And thou shalt doubtless recover all. So now, he pursues with determination. So you got to be determined. And you got to understand something. When you get ready to pursue what you've lost, you're going to have to overcome anger and personal frustrations and feelings. Why? Because when they got over the hill, they saw the people that stole their stuff having a party. And they were dancing and rejoicing. Listen, you want to make hell sad, pursue. You want to make hell glad, do your church stuff. I am sick and tired of that bum coming among us and stealing our stuff. I know Kevin Cox is here, and we've been fasting and praying for your sweetheart, and I still think God's fixing to do something somehow, some way. Now, I can't make him do it. I just know as long as there's life, there's hope. And we can get one word from the Lord, even this night, and God can reverse the curse, and God can turn. And the life of Jesus could be made manifest in that body. You gotta pray until, believe until, pursue until, seek until. You can sit down. I know what I'm trying to do. I know where I'm going. What good is desire without desperation? What good is desperation without determination? We all tell the story of Jacob becoming Israel, but that happened because of determination. Remember the story? I think I've heard it preached wrong at least 100 times. I know how to preach it right, but most people preach it wrong, but I accept it. Yeah, the Bible says, well, there's all this crazy stuff we come up with. And Jacob wrestled to show his tenacity. That's a bunch of baloney. He preaches good, but it's a bunch of baloney. That's not what it says. Read your Bible. Turn off your TV. Read your Bible. The Bible says, and there wrestled with Jacob a man. It didn't say Jacob wrestled with the angel. It said the angel wrestled with Jacob. Why? Because there was something in Jacob he had to stop. I know it looked so good, like Esau was coming and Jacob just went after getting a hold of God. That's not what happened. He was over there by himself and that angel just jumped out of that bush. Let's get ready to rumble. And he took him on and they fought and fought and fought and he wrestled with him. Yeah. And you know what God was trying to do for that angel? He was trying to kill that one thing that resists God. You're not getting it yet. And until you let God touch that thing in your life that is fighting against His will, you're never going to get what you want. That's why God, the Bible says, that angel touched the hollow of His thigh and His thigh was out of joint while He wrestled. There's where most of us don't get our answer. We stop when the pain starts. He wrestled in his pain. He fought in his pain. Till finally, he wasn't fighting no more. He was clinging and holding on. God can bless somebody that starts clinging. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Look, I've just got a few minutes here. Watch. Bible said, remember when he said, touch the hollow of his thigh, and his thigh was out of joint? That's painful. Take it from a man who knows. I'm the original Mr. T in UPC. I have two titanium hip sockets. I am Mr. T. I know what it is to have a degenerated and deteriorated hip and have the thing out of socket. I used to preach all the time. I know how painful that is. This guy, the angel goes, and his leg's just hanging. If it had been a good Pentecostal, got to go see the doctor. I got to get in the prayer line. He says, no, I'm determined to be blessed. And if I got to go through pain, I'm hanging on. And if I got to go through discouragement, I'm hanging on. And if I got to go through frustrated faith, I'm hanging on. Why? Because if I can hang on, He is a blessing God. He is a blessing God. He will make a way where there is no way. You know what the Bible said? I didn't hurt your feelings, did I? No. Okay. Watch. You know what it said? The sinew shrank. You ready for this? Here's why we have all this dumb problems in us. It didn't disappear. And it didn't go away. The bad part of him got smaller. The good part of him got bigger. But the bad part showed up all the time. You missed it. I'm sorry. You must have went to Bible school. It's too deep for you. Let me try it again. Watch. It shrank. Watch. Shrank, but stayed. See, things that God touches in my life and your life that are hindering the perfect will of God in our life, they shrink. God makes them smaller. The spiritual man gets bigger. But don't ever think that boogaboo is going away. Oh, no. As soon as you get in a bunch of hell and a bunch of pressure, that thing will go. I want so bad for God to just take the dumb, as long as you're shrunk, take the dumb thing out of me. No, I'll leave it in you to make you to become. I'm not helping you. Wait a minute. You think I'm laughing? I don't mean to be humorous. I'm trying to tell you, God in a few minutes is going to show you how He's going to deliver people. He's going to show you in just a few minutes. But I've got to convince you. I've got to persuade you. I've got to make you understand that deliverance comes from determination and not from great faith. You can have little faith and be determined and you can get your miracle. That Shunammite woman that had that dead baby, Bible said she was so determined, she grabbed a hold of the preacher and wouldn't let him go. Send that old dumb Gehazi with that little magic stick. He said, go put the staff on that dead kid. What a picture that is for all you faith guys. Watch. The flesh comes first. Faith comes second. And the answer comes third. Because if you read your Bible, you do read it, don't you? You read your Bible, it says, Gehazi went first. That's flesh. Then the woman went, that was the lady of faith, and here comes Elijah. Now here's the delivering answer. Wait a minute, let me quote from my second favorite book in the world, The Greatest Salesman in the World, Og Mandino. Failure shall never overtake me. As long as my determination to succeed is strong enough. No, you missed it. Okay, let me spiritualize it for you. No devil's got the power to take me out if I'm determined to live for God. If I am determined to be a godly person. If I'm determined. I am determined what Paul said. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That doesn't come just from a statement. That comes from determination. We all preach the potter and the clay. 18 of Jeremiah, do we not? Preach the potter and the clay. You know what that is? A picture of divine determination. Watch. The retrieval of a disaster. That's what salvation is. Retrieval of a disaster. Now watch. It was marred in his hands. So the potter made it another vessel. Why did you do that? Well, I'm determined to finish what I started. Don't you get it? If we have his DNA, because we're supposed to be pregnant with God's DNA, and his mindset, and his spirit, and his essence, and his mission, and his purpose, don't you think we ought to be determined? That when I fall down, I'm not going to let some devil kick me in the head and keep me down there. That's why the writer said, rejoice not against me when I fall. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be my light. I'm going to get up. What's making you get up? I'm determined. I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to finish my calling with joy. Sorry, it's not going as good as I wrote. We all tell the story of Luke 18 of the widow woman who went to the unjust judge, right? There's a big difference between the unjust judge and some lying devil. I'm challenging you in Jesus' name. You lying devil, get out of these people's minds right now. Listen to me. That lying devil has persuaded a lot of you sweet people that God is like that unjust judge. He has to be persuaded.
He's already persuaded.
That unjust judge turned around and said, this widow is troubling me. I'm paraphrasing. She's driving me crazy. She's a loony. She's making me to flip out. I gotta get some Advil or some of the kids Prozac, or I gotta get some stuff here. She's driving me crazy. She said, watch, lest by her continual coming. So watch, her continual coming had to overcome his reluctance. That doesn't have anything to do with God. God is not reluctant. God is ready. When Hezekiah got sick and he had a death pronouncement on his life, he turned his face to the wall. He talked to the Lord. He told the preacher, go back in. I've given you 15 years. If you read Isaiah's prophecy, he said, Hezekiah said, and the Lord was ready to heal me. Wait a minute. He's got a death sentence on him. And the Lord was ready to heal him. I'm running into a wall here. Because all you people are thinking about Sister Cox. If I can get a word from God right now, I can speak to that thing and she'll be healed in 5 seconds. But I can't do that presumptuously. I can't just all of a sudden do it. Even Elijah said when he got ready to call down the fire, let it be known I've done all these things at thy word. I'm just saying the possibility exists. And if God would give Hezekiah 15 years, why couldn't God give people in our churches who are sick and dying more years? The same God that was ready then is ready now. My apologies, Rev. My apologies. I'm so sorry. All I know is God's not defeated by our failures and our mistakes and our errors. And the only thing that's going to bring deliverance to you right now, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever you need, is a good baptism of discontent. Let me help you with it. If God sees in your life or my life that we can live without the Holy Ghost, He'll let us. If God sees in our life that we're willing to put up with sickness and disease, He'll let us.
Whoa.
Esther's determination delivered an entire nation. I'm just trying to get a handful of people delivered. Okay, I'm sorry. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid to stretch out and step into the realm beyond your comfort zone? Somebody right now needs to take hold of life by the throat. I am not staying this way anymore. I am not putting up with this junk anymore. I am not going to live with this lust. I'm not going to live with this anger. I'm not going to live with this stupidity. I'm not going to live with this weakness. I'm not going to live with your lies. I've always been this way. Well, I can change. God can change me. God can help my faith. God can mobilize my desires. God can baptize me with fresh fire. Okay, I'm not getting anywhere. So I will take 5 minutes. And I'm done. I'm done. Where's my girlfriend? Where's Sister Mickey? Where'd she go? Mickey, no, you better sit there. This would make you look so bad. I went up to Mickey and said, you know that song, That's Life. That's what all the people say. Flying high in April. Shot down in May. But I'm going to make them people change their tune when I'm back up on top in June. That's life. Where's Sinatra when I need him? You're not getting it yet. That's life. I asked her to give me the words. I don't know how she found it, but she gave me these words. It's funny, it seems, that some people get the kicks out of stepping on people's dreams. But I just can't let that get me down because the big old world keeps spinning around. Here's the part I was trying to get to. I've been a puppet and a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down and over and around. And really, I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face. I pick myself up, hey baby, and get back in the race. That's life. Come on, pick yourself up. Take life by the throat. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. I will come out of this. God, you said I'm not going to preach any better. It didn't work. I'm sorry. So sorry. Don't buy the tape. Don't buy the tape. Don't buy the tape. David and Ziklag wants his stuff back. Caleb says, I want what's been promised. I want my mountain. Started out when I was 40. I'm 85. I've been walking 40 years thanks to the idiots. Now that's in the margin. Now you think that I'm crazy. You talk about a man who was baptized with almost a gift of divine determination. How would you fare? Having church for 40 years in the wilderness with the wackos who kept you out of your promise. You and your good pal Josh gave a good report. But the Looney Tunes said, we can't take it. And God said, I'll take you at your word. 40-year death march in the wilderness. And you got to walk around with the idiots. Man, I can't only take 4 or 5 in my local assembly. He's got millions. How'd you make it? Did you have great faith? No. Did you have a majestic prayer life like Queen Isabella? No. Said, did you have this great complex? Did you have a great choir? Did you have great church? No. You've been marching for 40 years. People have been dropping over like flies. How did you make it? I'm just determined to get what I got promised. Sometimes I'm walking slow. Sometimes I'm jumping high. Sometimes I feel like I got the victory. Sometimes I feel I ain't got no victory. But when I get down low enough, I just take life by the throat and I said, I am going to the promised land. Laugh all you want to, but I'm going to get my mountain. I want my mountain. I want what's been promised me. Five minutes. Preach all you want to about the Syrophoenician woman. But she got her daughter delivered long distance over determination. Trying to get to Jesus. Jesus wouldn't give her the time of day. So what does she do? She goes to the church folks. She starts driving the church folks crazy. And being the great church folks full of the love and the compassion of God that they were, they said, will you get this dumb chick out of here? She's driving us crazy. She crieth after us. And the potential Pentecostal preachers wanted to get rid of her. But the potentate didn't. And when she couldn't get by those nincompoops, she went to the boss. And then the boss wouldn't hardly talk to her. And then the boss just kind of had a little conversation. He says, not fit to put the children's bread into the mouth of dogs. I'd like to help all you people that don't believe in healing. You don't believe in present day miracles. Jesus said healing and deliverance was the children's bread. That's what it said. She says, that's true, boss. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. She said, if I can't have the loaf, how about just a crumb? Why? Because there's just as much virtue in the crumb as there is in the whole loaf. And watch, her determination received the declaration. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And the devil went out of her child long distance. We need to believe that God can send ministering spirits long distance to our family, to our loved ones, to our children, if you're determined. You can stand with me. I'm finishing. My sincere apologies. I've heard myself better. Lots better. I'm sorry I got messed up with that pod thing. That's life. That's what all the people say. Flying high in April. Shot down in May. When I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself. That's what David did. He encouraged himself. Pick myself. You know, sometimes the biggest miracle you can get is talking to yourself. In Psalms 42 and verse 5, David talked to him and says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Watch this. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. But in verse 11, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. It changes. For I shall now bless him and praise him for the health of my countenance. I thank him for the hope of his countenance is going to produce health in my countenance. You can stand for just 3 minutes, can't you? Well, you're going right there. Churchill said, success is the ability to go from one failure to another without losing enthusiasm. Edison said, I've not failed. I learned 10,000 ways that don't work. Why would you let your upbringing and your present situation and your setbacks and your hurts and your losses steal your determination to be all that you can be for God? Quitters never win. Winners never quit. You guys have all your football guys. I was a boxer. I have my guy, Rocky Marciano. I loved old Rock. He was so short. His arms were about 8 inches too short. He couldn't even reach his opponent. He reached his opponent with his face. Rocky Marciano used to fight, and these guys would out-jab him, but he was so powerful in his punches, he could break ribs if he could get inside. And I just loved the guy, and I realize this is B.C., before Christ. I understand that. But I remember when he was getting his brains knocked out in a fight. In fact, Rocky's nose was broke so much, it just moved. And he was in the 14th round of a championship fight, and his eye was closed, his lip was split. This eye had a big gash over it. His nose was hanging to the side. And the referee came in the corner and said, Rock, I'm going to have to stop this fight. And he said, no, just my cut man will take care of him. He said, I'm going to let it start, but if you start bleeding, I'm shutting this thing down. And they fixed him up. And he went out in that next thing with one eye shut, lip hanging down, nose broke. The guy jabs, and Rocky clams his bum and knocks him out of the ring. And when the fight was over, they asked Marciano, how did you do it? And, you know, Rocky from New York, man. He said, oh, man, always felt like I could always fight one more round. I wish we could leave this conference and put that in any spiritual context you want. And when you're getting a such and such knocked out of you, turn around and say, I think I can fight one more round. I think I can pray one more prayer. I think I can teach one more Bible study. I think I can praise one more time. I think I can try just one more time. We're closing. I'm sorry to keep you so long. Some of the world's greatest people have survived adversity, disabilities, and setbacks. Cripple them totally, and you have a brilliant Walter Scott. Lock him in a terrible prison and you inspire John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. Bury him in the freezing snows of Valley Forge and you give birth to a George Washington. Subject him to bitter religious prejudice and you have a Disraeli. Strike him down with infantile paralysis and you give birth to an FDR. Allow her to be so sick at 19 months that she becomes deaf, dumb, and blind. And you give birth to a Helen Keller. Burn him so severely in a fire that doctors say he'll never walk again. And you have on your hands Glenn Cunningham, who set the world record in 1934 for running a 4-minute mile. Let him be born black in a society filled with racial prejudice and hatred and discrimination. And you give birth to a Booker T. Washington and a Harriet Tubman and a Marian Anderson and a George Washington Carver, and a Shirley Chisholm, who's the first black woman to ever go to Congress, and you give birth to a man named Martin Luther King. Let him be the first child to survive among 18 children raised in poverty. And you have the greatest singer of the world, Enrico Caruso, having born to parents that survived Auschwitz, paralyzed him from the waist down at 4. And you have the incomparable violinist, Itzhak Perlman. Call him a slow learner. Tell him he's somewhat retarded. Write him off as uneducable. And you have an Albert Einstein. Don't let the devil tell you, you can't make it. You can make it. They didn't even have the Holy Ghost. All right, Brother Anthony, we close. Read for me, Rev. Deuteronomy chapter 2.
Okay. Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river of Arnon.
Good statement. Go ahead.
Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land.
I have given you the land, and I have given you domination over the people. Now watch what he said, Bud. Go ahead.
Begin to possess it.
Wait a minute. I've given it to you, but now you got to go possess it.
Yes.
And you got to confront him and contest with him.
Yes.
Ready? Now just go down that other verse where we go a little further. What do I
contend with him in battle. Okay. And the Lord said unto me,
go ahead.
Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee.
This is how we leave this because of the times. God is saying to this whole movement, I have begun to give you what I promised you. Now watch what he says.
Begin.
Whoa. Get it? I've begun. Now you begin.
Yep. Yep.
I've begun. Now you begin.
Yeah.
I've begun to give you what I promised. Now you begin to take possession of it.
Yeah. Begin to possess that thou mayest inherit his land.
Yeah.
Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people.
Let's skip it. We're running late. And the Lord delivered him into his hand. I want that.
And the Lord our God delivered him before us. We smote him and his sons and all his people.
Now the deliverance came because they were determined to do what God had promised. Now you got to tell yourself, he's begun. In this whole conference, God has set the temperature and set the direction for this movement. He has begun to give you possession of your lands, your peoples, your stuff. He's begun. But now God is saying, it ain't enough for me to begun. You've got to begin. You've got to act. You've got to stretch your faith. You've got to step beyond the border. You've got to go past your comfort zone. You got. There's one last part of that verse and we're finished. Thank you, Reverend.
Aurora?
Yeah, don't worry about that. Get down over here.
Where you want me to get?
I
want to
get where it's really. I know. I want to get really where it's really good.
That was 36.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted.
That's what I'm reading.
I was just checking on
you. Okay. From the city that is by the river.
Watch this.
Even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us.
Stop. That's a prophetic word to this conference right now.
Yep.
There's not going to be one city that is too strong for us.